Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpichka, and as your host on the second Thursday of every month, I feel very honored and privileged to have these one-on-one conversations with very talented and gifted mediums. Today's no exception. Our guest medium tonight is Amy Utzman. Amy is a Forever Family Foundation certified medium who makes her home in Atlanta in Georgia. And in addition to providing evidential mediumistic readings, she has worked with psychic children, their parents, and she teaches intuitive development and mediumship. And she has medical intuitive abilities. She's known for her natural reading style and emphasizes the ethics connected to her work. She conducts individual group readings as well as readings by Skype and on online platforms. Her website is amyutzman.com. It sounds exactly like it's spelled. It's spelled exactly like it sounds, I should say. And we'll plug that a little bit later on the show again. So another plug is that our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters, such as the Camlock Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisetti, and others. And as always, dear listeners, our tonight's show, it's conducted for research and informational purposes, so your questions are extremely welcome. But please keep in mind that Amy will not be performing any readings tonight. We don't do readings on this show. We do brain pickings. That's what we do. And if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. Again, it's 1-888-627-6008. So, Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Roman, and hello, everybody. Good evening.
Good evening. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Have you been surviving this brave new pandemic world? How have you been doing it? Everything working out for you?
I've been extremely lucky and grateful. So, you know, I can't complain, frankly. It's been difficult times for all of us, without a doubt. But myself, I really cannot complain.
Yeah, I got to tell you, 2020 has been the worst year ever for most people. let me start by paying a little tribute to Fran Ginsberg, president and co-founder of the Forever Family Foundation. She will be sorely missed. She was an incredible force of life behind this whole thing, and we can only hope that it continues the way it did, without her. I know she's probably here right beside us, both of us at the same time, you know what I mean? And, she was an amazing person, and we love her very much, and we're going to miss her a lot.
Yes, it's a big loss for us here in the physical world. It's a huge loss.
And yeah, big on the other in the spiritual side, world, though.
Yeah, I'm sure she's organizing things over there already. So
yeah, absolutely. And it's not only that, but I've been doing a little grieving of my own today because one of my heroes, I'm a guitarist, and you probably heard about the passing of Eddie Van Halen.
Yes,
he was so huge to me. It's like a part of my childhood died. I cried today. I cried many times looking at videos and stuff like that. And I'm a little bit choked up right now just talking about it because he was such an influence on me. And, and the reason I play guitar pretty much was because of him, And just a big, huge loss. And, the drumming community also a couple of months ago experienced a huge loss with the Neil Peart crossing over. He was the drummer from Rush, considered one of the best drummers in the world. So, it's just been a horrible year,
Yeah.
And that other lady who's was also a Ginsburg. I think she was some kind of judge or something like that. She crossed over too, you know, and just a bad year, you know, between the pandemic and everything. Oh, my God. It's like, how do you, you know, how are we going to get out of this? Is it going to stop? You know?
If I could add something to this, Roman.
Oh, okay.
If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I decided to step in. And I'm a huge fan of, you know, Eddie Van Halen as well. What I feel something that has helped me get through, and I've had a lot of these conversations in readings with people as well, right? And done large groups for this reason, just to help bring people together. But if you can take a step back and kind of, if we take a step back and get out of our own space for a moment and look at what, from a spiritual point of view, what seems to be happening in the world is a lot of energetic shifts. And it just seems like a lot of shifts all culminated together all at once. And so I know that can be very hard to do, and I know that doesn't take the pressure and the pain away of the immediacy of a lot that's happening. But, you know, sometimes it's just a moment. If we just, it gives a little bit, just a little bit of ease if we can just, you know, see that it's that's how I view it. It's some energetic shift, but it doesn't really make it easier. It just provides maybe a little bit different perspective.
Yep. It's a good way to look at it. I mean, you know, I'm 54 years old, and I've seen a lot of people die, and you know, famous people. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've been ever affected as much. Pardon me, I have to take a drink of water.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of incredible losses this year from the physical. And, again, you can look at it as a lot of incredible gains for the spiritual world.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yep. So, tell me, moving on a bit, did take us through, like, your experiences and development as a medium. Let's hear a bit about your history and you know, how you developed everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
I keep joking I'm going to write a book called The Reluctant Medium. So
you do that, girl.
You know, I'm absolutely honored that I'm able to be a medium, and just grateful that on a daily basis, I'm able to connect people with their loved ones on the other side, right? It's a true, it really is an honor. And
it's a gift. It is a gift.
Yeah, in many ways. I always had these abilities growing up. I didn't know what they were. I just thought everybody had a whole world that they didn't talk about. And for me, fortunately, I wasn't one of those children that was afraid. A lot of mediums had anxieties when they were younger, but I was lucky that I did not.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that makes me just slightly extra weird. I used to, you know, I asked my mom, like, who are all the faces and the people I see at night? But I wasn't scared, and I don't know why that is, but I'm happy, you know, that wasn't my case. And I was raised in a Caribbean and Catholic family, so this was not anything that was talked about, so I wasn't really exposed to it.
Right.
And kind of, you know, just went through my life, had challenges like many mediums do, and worked as a chef for 12 years. And my opening, if you will, started with one statement, and that was, I know it was by a coach, and they said, I notice when you're around other people, you change. And I thought, that's odd, you know. But what I wasn't realizing at the time was, because I'm high on the empathy scale, I'm able to, you know, I would naturally shift to other people versus always just being myself, right? Not being aware of that. And so a week later, said Caribbean family, we always had to get together. I was just mixing a drink for somebody, and that statement popped into mind. And so in that moment, I thought, oh, yeah, I am changing to the group, but I'm fine as I am. And the following week, my whole world exploded. And I didn't know what all was happening. But what I now know going back was I had put boundaries in place that I'd never had before, which heightens your intuition. Because if you're giving away, you know, your energy all day, it's not really contained. And so you pick up a lot of stuff that you don't know what to do with, right?
So, right. What do you mean by your world exploded?
Well, I had just met, probably a month before, my spouse. We're now together just over 13 years, but we had just met like a month before.
Okay.
And she made a statement. I didn't know anything of her family. I mean, you know, just think about being in a relationship for about a month, right? You don't hardly know anything. And she
right.
said, you know, I think you would have really have loved my grandfather. And I said, oh, was he like, you know, and I started describing him. And I said, like, he carried this little, it's like a daily prayer book, but it's in something. And I didn't recognize, I was just talking, like, and all of a sudden the tears. And she went up and she went and got the book and came back. And I looked and I said, what just happened? What was that? So that was just one of many experiences. And then I started, my psychic really opened up. Now, you know, in my cooking days, the psychic was very helpful because I would say to my staff, we need to cook, we need to prep, you know, catering's going to come in with an extra 100 today. And they would just look at me like I was crazy. You know, so I'm like, we need to be prepared. And sure enough, catering would come in and say, look, can you just have 100 extra plates ready? I didn't think anything of it. I just, you know, it was just me.
Right.
So
wow.
That went kind of crazy too. And so what happened was I wasn't able to sleep. I had really people kind of like ghosts in a way. People from the other side talking to me all night. And I was like, what is this? What is happening?
So it's like you kind of let your guard down and all of this stuff started just happening to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I went to a therapist and I said, I think I'm crazy. And she listened to everything and she said, so you want me to tell you you're gifted? And I said, with what? And then she made a recommendation that I go see a shaman. And I was like, I don't know what any of this is, but I went to the shaman and she said, oh, you have so many people with you. And I just looked around and I said, what do you mean? And she said, they've been trying to get your attention for years. And I said, okay. But honestly, it felt like a real strong pull. And when that pull happened, I felt like I began to understand what a calling really is.
Mm-hmm.
So
very interesting.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
That was, just over 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you probably jumped into it full time since around then,
rather
right?
Quickly, yeah. I was still working. At that point, I was an assistant food service manager, so I was still working in the field. But it was opening real quick, and I just thought, honestly, Roman, I don't know how I just embraced it really fast because it just felt like this was what I had to do. And I started doing practice readings for people. They were very short, like they will be in the beginning. And it just evolved. And it, you know, I started working at a store where you're doing readings on the weekends and things like that. And next thing you know, I'm doing it full time. So,
very fascinating story. Wow. Well, glad that you can do it. I'm glad that you're, you know, helping people, and I'm sure you're very happy with, you know, your career choice.
I can't say I call it a career. It's really interesting. It's, somebody used the word vocation, and perhaps that's a good word, but it really feels like a calling, and this is
yeah.
my life, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah, career is a bad word. Sorry.
No, no. It's okay
not.
Sometimes.
It's not like it's a career. It's more like a. It's more of a gift that mm-hmm. you give. You receive and you give, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Which is
that.
Great. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so a question is, do you think anybody can be a medium? I mean,
well,
do we all have a bit of abilities in us that we can develop and, you know?
I 100% believe that we all have abilities and develop. At minimum, we can all connect with our own loved ones,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. Sometimes I feel like a little bit of a barrier, if you will, towards, you know, working as a medium for other people is a sense of trust. So I think people can learn to do it. I don't know that sometimes I feel like people don't have that readiness. So it's not that you can't, but it's one thing to trust connecting with your own family members. It's another to take that extra step and say, ooh, am I getting it right for you now?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I mean, I would really, really like to personally connect with Eddie Van Halen, you know. Can you give me a few pointers here, you know?
Sure. Well, just keep asking him, or you never know, because you're in the same field.
Well, you know, he wasn't, you know, I've never met him or anything like that. So this is like a celebrity who, you know, and there's probably a million people that want to connect with him.
But Roman, we're all the same on the other side, right? So
that is true.
We'll think of him as a great person that he was when he's here, and he's still that great person on the other side, but we don't have, all of a sudden, he's not necessarily a celebrity on the other side.
Right. So are you saying on the other side, anybody can, you know, pretty much connect with anybody, right?
That's my understanding. I've had people that I've connected with on the other side who definitely, hey, I went and I met Elvis, and he's just a regular guy.
Okay.
So
very interesting. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mind blowing. I mean, it's like I'm kind of looking forward to the that, but I don't want to shorten my journey over here, you know.
Oh, I hear you.
At the same time, because this whole thing called life is an enhanced learning experience where there's a lot of hardships and a lot of lessons to be learned. That is for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what do you do to get yourself ready for a reading?
Well, that's evolved over the years.
Okay.
And with mediumship, like many things, right? You start at a certain place, and then you evolve with it. The more you learn, the more you grow, and things like this. So, in the beginning, I used to feel like I needed to sit for 30 minutes and meditate. Basically, what I kind of felt like I was doing was pray. You know, that somebody connects and it works. Over time, the more that I've worked with and developed my mediumship, and the more comfortable I've become with it, the less pressure I put on myself. And that's key, because trusting the other side, I mean, obviously we're talking to smart people on the other side. And so when you put so much pressure on yourself when you don't actually need to, and that took me a long time to learn. I always trusted the information I got, but I was trying so hard to be so good for everyone. And now all I do is I say, I'm here for you any way that you need me. So your loved ones know it's you without a doubt.
Right. And you know, is there anything that you'd recommend for your clients to do for a reading to make their readings more optimal and, you know, to have the spirits come through?
Yeah, ideally, I do encourage people to invite their loved ones, right? You can just say in your mind, you know, I have an appointment with a medium, and at this time I would love it if you'd come. So you invite them. I think it's really important that you be comfortable and relaxed. So racing in from work or, you know, calling from the car or really distracted place, that's not going to help you, the sitter. And also, you may not be able to hear and take in everything that's being said in that space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being comfortable is really important. You also don't want to be saying yes to things that don't fit, you know, because, you know, for you to have a reading where you know you've connected with your loved ones, if you're saying yes to things that don't fit, then there's not the opportunity of the medium to say, okay, what am I getting wrong here, you know, if anything.
Because
there's it's always going to be a little bit of no's, but you want to walk away from your reading feeling comfortable and content and uplifted that you just had some time with some of your loved ones.
I'm sure a lot of people are, you know, kind of a little bit apprehensive, so they'll say yes because they're out of politeness, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, like, please say no. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you say a no, but the no's are as important as the yeses, I think.
Very interesting. Well, I got a lot more questions for you, but we're going to take a short break to have a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. In the meantime, you and I will chat off air. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Okay, hello everybody, and welcome back to Medium Insights Hour. We are here with Amy Utzman. My name is Roman Karpyszka, and we're having a really cool discussion about, you know, probing the brains of mediums and what makes them tick and how they feel about everything. So, you know, I'm just going to go along that line of questioning. And, you know, Amy, I went to your website before the show a little bit, you know, just to keep my memory fresh about it, everything.
Sure.
And I noticed that you also do psych readings as well as media mystic readings. Now, yes. Can you like give me the tell us what's the difference between the two, and when does one transition into the other type?
Sure. So, most of you may have heard that all mediums are psychic, and there's a very distinct difference between the readings. So, medium, you're connecting with loved ones on the other side, and mm-hmm. psychic, I tend to view as spiritual guidance around life issues. And if you do a combination reading, which a lot of people book, medium and psychic, you start with the medium first, and then you shift to the psychic. And I love when psychic is used the right way. I really love what it can offer, because we can see how the past affects the present and how perhaps that could be contributing to perhaps some blocks or preventing you from moving forward on your path for the future. So there's a lot that we can learn psychically, and that a psychic reading feels to me just a little more heavy, if you will, to look a little, it's more dense than a medium. It's something I noticed that the minute I make that connection to the other side, my whole body relaxes. And once we step out of that connection and we move to psychic, all of a sudden I feel like, poof, I've been dropped in my chair, you know, and now we're here looking at more physical world issues, even if we're connecting in on the soul. And with psychic, I do tend to work with guides as well. So it's not only me giving perspective, but guides will play a role. My guides or the sitter's guides, which I really love their point of view, because they're certainly going to know a lot more than I may, and they'll go right to the heart of the matter. So, and people come for psychic for many reasons, you know. You'll get often topics of like finances and relationships and work, and it can be so helpful for all of those things. And sometimes people are maybe confused about a pattern they have in life, like, why is it this way, or why do I feel this way? And a lot of times questions can be answered about that as well.
So, wow. I'm sure if you talk to my spiritual guides, they're going to tell you to tell me to stop buying guitars. He has too many guitars, which I do. I've got like 30 of them or something like that. I lost count. But that is really interesting. You know, that would be optimal, I think, booking a mediumistic, then, you know, followed by a psychic reading. I think that really completes the whole gamut. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's my most popular session that's booked. Reading that book is that one.
Very interesting. So mm-hmm. Tell me, I have found, you know, personally over time, as time goes by, that it gets a little harder to connect with your loved one. I mean, not connection, but you get less signs, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. they send you these signs and everything. And what do you make about that? Is that true? Or is that just what I'm, you know, experiencing, and maybe I might be the outlier here?
Well, no, you're not the outlier. So in my experience, and I can only speak for, you know, my experience and understanding, right? Because all of us work a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I tend to notice that after somebody transitions, it seems as though they stay really quite close to the physical world. I mean, very close to us, and the signs really are profound. I mean, it's unbelievable what people can do from the other side. And then over time, it seems to become a little more subtle. Now, I want to be clear about this. In my experience, it's not that they're not around, but the energy of them doesn't feel quite as dense. And so, therefore, we may not pick up that they're around or feel, you know. So that's what I feel like happens, is that it becomes just a little more subtle in feeling. And this is what, you know, when you develop mediumship, one of the things is you learn to more fine-tune how things feel. And if you're in our everyday lives, we can be very, you know, distracted by life. And so we might be thinking, well, I don't feel them like I used to. Because I used to feel them like sit right next to me. Doesn't mean that they're not still sitting next to you. It's just that their energy, it doesn't have the same denseness as it did when they first transitioned, if that makes sense. I hope I'm not making it like...
So they're still with you. It's just they're
absolutely
at a different energy.
Like the vibration is a little bit lighter, if you want to call it that.
Right.
Yeah, but no, they still love us. They still want to be around us. It's just that I really notice, and I've heard many stories after thousands of readings. I've heard many stories of same question like you, Roman. And yet in a reading, you know, they're connecting. They're saying, well, I just had a lady 2 days ago. We got on and I said, your mom just told me you were folding the sheets and thinking of her. And she's like, whoa.
But right.
And she's like, oh, my gosh, because I don't feel her anymore. But look, she gave that one piece to show I'm still with you because I know you were folding the sheets. So, you know, I love those pieces that they talk about right now because it gives such a, you know, a show that they're around, you know, often.
Very interesting. So, does this always happen? I mean, or do you know why this happens, that the energy becomes less dense over time? Is there a reason for it, like, that you know? Or is it just one of those things that it is what it is?
Well, I think it also depends on the individual. I have found, I've made some errors in readings sometimes where I feel like somebody has just recently transitioned because their presence feels so strong. And they sound like, I just feel like they've just passed within the last 2 years, right? And because they feel very present, it's just a different feel. And the person's like, wow, this is great, but they passed like 20 years ago. So it's like, oh, how did that feel so long? And then you have other people that it's an individual thing, just like how the soul is different. And it's not like they leave. I think that, if you think about the other side, perhaps as having a little bit different areas or just a little bit different vibration, the soul has the choice to do that. So, and as I say that, I feel it's important to say that we're never holding them back, because I know people worry about, am I pulling on them or speaking to them too much, or am I preventing them from moving on or growing on the other side? And the answer to that is no. They love you as much as you love them.
Okay.
So that I really wanted to, that felt important to say.
It is very important. Absolutely. You know, I'm going to dive into this topic. This is, I totally am enthralled by this medium thing and the afterlife and spirituality, and it's been a fascinating journey over the last, I'd say, 11 years. And one of the things, though, that makes me, kind of stops me in my tracks when I think about it is, all right, you know, we are humans. Humans develop over time. I don't believe in the Bible's version of Adam and Eve where the rib was taken, and I totally do not subscribe to that. I think that we evolved from, primates and, with evolution and all of that kind of thing. So my question, like, not necessarily to you, maybe you might have some insight into it, but it's one of the things that bothers me is, all right, at some point we weren't human. At some point it wasn't humans ruling the earth. At some point, it was primates, and before that, it was crocodiles and dinosaurs and whatever, and it evolved over time. So where was spirit during that time? You know, what did we – because I've read in many books, and believe me, I've read many, many books on the matter, that spirit, spirituality – always was and always will be, and we're here on a journey to learn and stuff like that. Well, what happened, let's say 200,000 years ago before man even existed? What did we go somewhere else? Was there something else? Like, I mean, what's your take on that whole thing?
Okay, so
I know it's a very deep question. It's a deep question.
Yeah, it's an interesting. It's a very interesting question.
And it's one of the only thing that bothers me. Uh-huh. Really, to be quite honest with you, when you look at it from that point of view, and I'm looking for a right answer to that.
Okay, well, the best one that I feel like I can give you in the moment is, because I was sort of picturing it as you were speaking, So if you think about, you know, the existence of the spirit world, but you know that in this lifetime, they basically we're in class, right? In the physical world. This is class our soul can learn and grow.
Yep.
Well, that class had to be developed somehow, didn't it?
I guess, yeah.
So, you know, I have to be honest, that's not a question I've thought about. It's a great question. That's why I love when people ask questions, because it makes me go,
You know, sometimes when you, maybe ask your spirit guides and, you know, let me know at some point, you know, because it's one of the things that really bothers me. But I think I think you're off to a good start with the, you know, the class was developed, you know. And the other angle is, you know, the whole construct of time is a man-made artificial thing. We're stuck in time here.
Yeah.
Whereas there is no time at all. And I can't even picture that concept, a dimension without time. You know, so that probably has a play in it, too, if I was to guess.
Sure.
But I just, you know, as a mortal, I just can't fathom it. You know what I mean?
I mean, have you watched What the Bleep? That might help you.
What the Bleep?
Yeah.
No. What is
that? It was like a quantum physics documentary that talks about spirituality and things. So maybe that's something you can look into. But, yeah, time is funny.
Yeah, that's a good one. What the Bleep.
Yeah.
I'll make note of it.
What the bleep.
I think I've heard of it. I never watched it. And believe me, I'm a quantum physics fanatic. I mean, not that I know very much about it, but I think it's a great thing. That whole double slit experiment is just mind blowing. I'm sure you've heard of it. How it proves that consciousness dictates reality and not the other way around. And they've proven it over and over, not only with, you know, light particles, but they've used all kinds of particles, and they all behave the same way. Mm-hmm. Whether they're being observed or not, it's either a particle, which is, you know, it's a collapsed wave. It's either a wave or a particle. So when it's a potential, it's a wave. When it's observed, the potential collapses into an actual, and that's completely mind-blowing. I recommend for our viewers to go on YouTube, and there's a cartoon about that, just YouTube double slit experiment, and it's a really, you know, it's like a 10-minute video on quantum physics, and it tells you about how, you know, quantum physics was in a cartoon like way. They explain the whole experiment and what it does in a very, very easy to understand way. So I highly recommend that for any viewers, because it really does prove that consciousness is what creates reality. For example, I mean, you know, that question, if a tree falls in a forest, there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a sound? The answer is no, it doesn't, because there's no one there to observe it. There's, you know, so there's not even a tree, there's not even a forest, really, you know?
So that's the same thing, Roman, on the other side. People always wonder, what are they doing? You know, well, they're doing lots of things on the other side. It's whatever they, you know, manifest or choose to create to do. It's really amazing. So,
why they chose to come here. Mm-hmm. That's why we chose to come here, to not have it so easy, I guess, right? To learn things the hard way.
Apparently. What were
Apparently,
we thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you know what? Another 20 minutes have passed by. Can you believe it? It's time for a commercial break again.
Okay.
So, listeners, please stay with us. We've got a lot of other fascinating topics to talk about, and we're just going to hear a couple of words from our sponsors, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at ForeverFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Medium Insights Hour, on part of the Forever Family Foundation. And we're very lucky to have our medium, Amy Utzman, here today with us. And we're discussing all kinds of aspects of mediumship and, you know, things that come to mind. And, you know, I kind of got a little bit metaphysical there before the break, and we were talking about quantum physics and all this kind of stuff. So let me reel it back to something a little bit more practical. So When you do readings, mm-hmm. are you still conscious, or do you actually alter your consciousness?
Well, there's different levels. I'm conscious for sure.
Okay.
And, I'm very aware of what is being said. I think it's, because basically I'm the voice for those on the other side, right, in a reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very aware, and there's a lot going on that the sitter is not aware of, because we'd love for communication from the other side to be very straightforward. Hi, my name is John. I'm her father. I had 3 children. I worked as a banker. This is how I passed. We'd love for it to be exactly like that. But what actually happens is, you might get a feeling of a male. You feel like a father, and then you get a picture of perhaps a dollar sign if it's a bank, or how it comes in these little bits and pieces through feeling, sound, seeing, and so all of that has to be put together in a way it makes sense to the person that you're reading for. There are times, there's different levels of different types of mediumship. There are
right.
times where a person on the other side may want to blend with you more. And
okay.
that can be a little bit like a light trance state. So I've allowed it a few times. And it's really neat when it happens, because the person on the other side just speaks direct to your family. So basically they're using you. You're a little bit aware, but in my case, I know, and probably most of us would say this, really don't remember what they said so much.
Okay. Yeah, for transmediumship. Yeah, most transmediums don't. I mean, there's a couple of famous ones, like Leslie Flint is very famous, was very famous for doing stuff like that.
Well, full trance, yeah, you won't remember really anything.
Yeah.
So that's a complete surrender. So, there's, a couple different ways of full trance. You won't. I had a medical guide. I thought I fell asleep. I was talking with my partner, and I had a full trance experience, and it was a medical guide introducing himself, and he said all kind of stuff, and being the skeptics that we are, we went online, and we were like, okay, and we found him. So he was from the 1700s, and it was like, whoa. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the best kind of information that you receive is like you're telling something to the sitter that they don't even know, that they later find out is true.
Yes.
Because then you can't be accused of mind reading or something like that,
Right, right.
So those are very, very evidential. And, that happened to a friend of mine a couple of months ago, where a good friend of mine who also was a guitarist, Pat Crossover, I used to do a lot of gigs with him, and he appeared at his wife's was doing a teacher conference, and he appeared and told her, don't worry about the fight. Like, this strange lady came up to her, totally unknown, totally unsolicited, says, your husband's here, Walter's here, and he wants to tell you, don't worry about the finances, it's taken care of, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And she got back home, and, she's worried about the car payments, and she found that, she had no idea that the car was completely paid off, and he did that before.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like that. So those are, I found that out when I was on vacation. She called me when I was on vacation, and I go, you just have had a Class A evidential reading, Class A.
Mm-hmm.
When it's something that you don't even know that happened, that
right.
you find out later, So that's really good. I love it when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, me too.
So what advice would you give to somebody aspiring to learn to communicate with spirit?
Well, I always do tell people that trust and doubt are going to be the 2 biggest hurdles to overcome, right? And a lot of times,
especially
when,
the doubt thing, because
yes,
you question, am I just wishful thinking?
Right.
Yeah.
So how
I do that all the time.
How we know about what I like to share with people is a way to tell the difference if you're so-called making it up or if you're really getting something from someone else on the other side. Because sometimes it will come through your thoughts, just like it sounds like your voice, but it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
And so. What I tell people is, first thing is to pause, hold on. Were you thinking about that at the moment? If you weren't, it was probably a visit. second thing is to look at is when we use our imagination for something. So for example, we bought a house and we can imagine what our furniture will look like in there, right? So that imagination process requires a lot of steps of us. But communication from somebody from the other side, it just drops in. Boom, there's a picture in your mind. How can it be so fast if you were imagining it? You know?
That is a good point.
So that's
like you,
a couple of the ways.
Something pops in your mind and it's like with a lot of detail, instantly, that is probably some kind of message. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And
okay.
The third thing maybe to ask yourself too that seems to really be helpful is, was that mine or was that someone else? That instant answer will tell you, wait, that was me in my mind, or no. Oh, okay, that wasn't me in my mind. So where did that come from then? And the first person that pops into mind will be the person that was visiting you. So these are just some fundamental ways to start, trusting the signs and connections that you're getting from, your loved ones.
That is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a better state that one could be in? Like a relaxed state, maybe, as opposed to a nervous state, or receive these type of messages.
World distraction, everyday distractions can prevent. And I also find that when we're really having a hard time, sometimes we're so focused, like on the physical world and our stuff, that maybe we're like not catching the signs always. But guided meditations can be very helpful to start, because with a guided meditation, it gives the left brain something to do while the right brain is in the meditative state, because just sitting to meditate is very difficult. I mean, it takes a lot of practice. So I'm just going to sit quietly. Next thing you know, you're, grocery shopping. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be meditating, right? So this is why guided meditations can be so helpful. And I will say to people, find one where you like the sound of the person's voice, you like the visual, and you like the music. And then when you find one like that, do it over and over and over again. Because the more you get to do it, at some point, you'll find any kind of music that resonates with you, you can quickly get into that state. So, it's like when you get so accustomed to doing the same one over and over, you can say, okay, that's our space. I love it. I would love to have a visit with you. And it becomes much easier to do, whether it's your loved ones or your guides. So that seems to work really well, too.
Well, for me personally, what I find gets me into a very open state is when I play guitar.
Yeah.
I'm playing along with some background music, backup music, and I'm playing lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, just thinking of nothing except for letting the notes flow out, And it
some
really
people find that with gardening and cooking as well. It doesn't have to be. I just sit and it's, when you find something you really enjoy doing, you're kind of taking yourself connected. You're connected to yourself at that moment. So there it is.
Yeah.
That's
why art is so important. It's not just like the end result, but it's the journey of creating the art that is just as important as the result of the art. You know what I mean?
That's very well said. Yes.
Yeah, I've learned that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some wisdom in my 54 years.
You're not much older.
I sometimes I feel young, sometimes I feel old. Depends on, my level of, I have a bit of arthritis, so, it's all part of it, it's part of the world.
Yeah.
So, listen, how do you do most of your readings? Do you do them over virtual, especially these days?
Yeah, phone and video,
mm-hmm.
And it works exactly the same. There's no difference.
Okay.
And I record the audio, so email and MP3 of the reading right after the appointment.
Oh, okay.
The only readings I don't record are my intimate groups that are public for confidentiality reasons. So I do an intimate group once a month, the six people, everybody gets read. I don't record those. But all private groups or private readings I record, and then everybody, I think it's important because a lot of things may come up that we don't know, right?
Those evidences that people learn later.
Yeah, or I think mediums, we ask too much of people. We want you to remember every person in your life and everything they did in 30 seconds. You know, so you can't think of everything at the in the moment. So,
that's why I think like people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. That's why I think, you know, people going to these. I mean, it's not happening now because of COVID, but, you know, some mediums, they'll pack in the auditoriums, and people go there, pay $30 a ticket or whatever to see the show, expecting to be read. It's a horrible place to be read. You know, you might be one of the lucky ones, but, you know, I pity the medium with all these spirits trying to clamor in and try to get attention of the medium. Oh, it's just a bad venue to do that.
I don't know. Roman, I love groups. As a matter of fact, I have a free one coming up in November.
I don't mean like group. I mean like, you know, hundreds of people in the audience.
Yeah.
You have one of those coming up?
What I've started doing when we went into lockdown, everybody was having a hard time. So I thought, one thing I can do is offer a free group, because it's something I can do for people who believe in this, bring together in community. I cannot guarantee everybody a reading.
Right.
So, but people love it. They have really
people
said...
People love it, huh?
They do, because what people have said, it's what I've set the tone is, even if you're not getting a reading and out, please try and support the other person that is. You know, we're all here to be together for this bit of time. Right? And so, and I'm the only one on video when I do these. So I'm the only one on video, and people they have to have the email address, but I mean, sometimes they have their names listed as anonymous because we do it over Zoom. And so, you know, I've been doing these, and it's free. I mean, the idea is just to give back and give a little community. So those I've done probably 5 or 6 this year, and we can have 150 people on there. And yet I get these emails saying, thank you so much. Well, obviously I can't read 150 people.
Is that information about those group things? Is that on your website?
Yeah, under events. Okay. And I do free webinars once a month with Q&A.
Great. So you know what? Let's plug your website again. AmyUtzman.com. That's the best way to get a hold of you, I guess.
Yeah.
And guess what? We're out of time.
Okay. Well, that was really fast. What a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I'm in awe of your just the way that you explained everything. It was amazing. I really appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate it, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
Well, I look forward to it, and, you can always reach me, Roman.
Okay, I will. I'll definitely reach out to you. So before we go, you know, as Frank Ginsberg loved to remind us that, you know, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. And thank you for tuning in tonight, and we'll talk to everybody. Well, we'll have the show again in a month. So thank you, everybody, and have yourself a wonderful night. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.